Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and from one Supreme Court decision with a big impact on presidential politics to another, let's check in now on campaign finance and the lingering effects of the 2010 Citizens United ruling. That opened the door for super PACs to raise unlimited corporate cash. But it turns out that the biggest influence may come not from super PACs, but from other groups that funnel big money toward political advertising. Ever heard of a 501c4? Let's break it down with Lee Drutman, senior fellow at the Sunlight Foundation, which advocates for more transparent government and has been trying to track the secret money as it flows to both the Romney and the Obama campaigns. Lee Drutman, welcome to WNYC.
It's great to be on the show, Brian.
So you've been digging into the rise of these 501c organizations, particularly these 501c4 groups known as social welfare organizations, which is really a funny term for them. So let's say I'm a billionaire hot tub magnate and I want to influence the election with a bunch of money. What makes a 501c more attractive to me as opposed to a super PAC?
Well, Brian, if you give to a super PAC, people will know who you are, and then they might run nasty stories about you and your hot tubs. But if you give to a 501c, nobody will need to know who you are, and nobody will harass you and your hot tubs. And you can also influence the elections by supporting a group like Crossroads GPS, which will run lots of advertisements about Obama.
That's Karl Rove's group, right?
Karl Rove's group, yes. He founded this 501c4, and you, as you mentioned, it is technically a social welfare group, but I think there's lots of quotes around social welfare because these groups are pretty explicitly political, but they have managed to so far escape the FEC's jurisdiction as political committees, so they continue to run lots of ads without having to disclose much about their advertising or their donors. So you could keep your money secret by giving to them.
Well, what does that phrase, social welfare, in the law mean? I mean, Karl Rove can launch a political group if he wants, but I'm not sure anybody would think of American Crossroads as being a social welfare organization in the terms that we usually think of those words. So what does it actually mean, and what do they actually do?
Well, it means that the 501c4, it gets its name from a section of the tax code that is designed to create nonprofit organizations that advance some social welfare good. This goes back to actually 1913, so it's a class of nonprofits that's been around for almost 100 years, and to advance public education and to sort of advocate for various causes that are not explicitly political. But what's happened is that Karl Rove and a few others have realized that these are very good vehicles for running what they might call social welfare advertising, because they're just telling people how bad Obama's policies are, and that maybe they see that as a social welfare. But I, and I think many people, would see that as explicitly political. So there's a bit of a legal battle going on about whether what these groups are doing is in fact political, but they're doing a very good job of claiming, well, this is just social welfare. And the other thing that's interesting about these groups is that all they have to do is spend more than half of their money on social welfare causes, which, again, very loosely defined. So that means that they can spend up to 49.9% of their resources on advertisements that are explicitly political,
when
and
I think
still enjoy this tax-exempt status.
Right. When I think of social welfare, I'm thinking food stamps, tutoring, things like that. But I guess when you drill down further into the law, though social welfare is the umbrella term, it says it can go toward public education, which could be political-style ads that tell people about an issue in the terms that you want to describe the issue in, and also lobbying efforts. But I guess the tax-exempt status is allowed if 50% of their spending, at least, goes toward this public education or this lobbying, which somehow, I guess, gets swept up under the term social welfare. So here's a clip of an ad being run by Crossroads GPS, same group, this 501c4 started by Karl Rove. Take a listen.
Why isn't the economy stronger? In the seconds it takes to watch this, our national debt will increase 1.4 million. In 2008, Barack Obama said,
"We can't mortgage our children's future on a mountain of debt."
Now he's adding $4 billion in debt every day, borrowing from China for his spending. Every second, growing our debt faster than our economy. Tell Obama, stop the spending. Support the New Majority Agenda at newmajorityagenda.org.
So that ad is telling people what agenda they want them to support, telling people to send a message to President Obama, mentions Obama by name, uses a clip of him, but it doesn't count as a political ad under the law. Do I have that right?
That's right. Now, what's interesting about the law is if that was within 60 days of the general election, that would count as an electioneering communication, and that would have to be reported. But right now, we are outside that 60-day window. So that is just an issue ad. It's just educating people about President Obama's policies and debt and all that kind of good social welfare stuff, just educating people.
Listeners, if you have a question or a comment about 501c4s and why they may be less known than super PACs, less discussed than super PACs, but maybe even more influential to the presidential race than super PACs, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And you were telling our producers, and my guest is Lee Drutman, senior fellow at the Sunlight Foundation, which advocates for more transparent government. You were telling our producers before the show that in many ways the two big fears regarding Citizens United have not manifested themselves. The first was that corporations would spend tons of money on super PACs, and the second was that they would funnel money from super PACs through these 501c organizations. But you're saying that the 501c isn't even the middleman anymore. They're just spending the money themselves.
Yeah, certainly that seems to be what's happening. And again, I want to make two things clear. One, 501c4s have been around for a long time, and it's only recently that their social welfare purpose is increasingly seemingly perverted by a handful of political operatives who have taken over these groups to use them for political purposes. And two, the idea as you were saying, the idea was originally, or a lot of people thought, that what these groups would be set up to do would be to take money from rich hot tub magnates like yourself and allow you to anonymize the donations. And then if Crossroads GPS, say, gave to American Crossroads, that donation would only show up as Crossroads GPS because that money is going from Crossroads GPS to American Crossroads, which is a super PAC, which has to disclose its donors, but nobody would know who gave that original donation to Crossroads GPS. Now, we thought that was going to happen, but what's happened is that Crossroads GPS is just spending the money itself. They've spent 80, by our count, and we just look at what they've reported on their own website, they have reported $83 million in ad spending already, compared to American Crossroads, which has only reported $3 million in ad spending. Mm.
So are 501c's now spending more money than super PACs? Do you even have a way of knowing?
Well, we don't, because they don't have to disclose anything, but we've run some numbers. So far, super PAC expenditures as of the latest disclosures, which we got at the end of last month, have spent $138 million on political advertising. By our count, and this is just looking at what Crossroads GPS and Americans for Prosperity, which are the only two groups that we've been able to get a total on, have spent, plus a few disclosures to the FEC, we count at least $127 million just from a very limited look at what 501c's are doing. So we would guess that 501c groups are already eclipsing super PACs. And 501c's also include 501c5s, which are labor unions, and 501c6s, which are trade associations, most notably the Chamber of Commerce, which has pledged to raise at least $50 million to run ads in this election.
We have some great callers with good questions hanging on. Let's start with Tom in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I was curious. I understand that the law for a 501c4 provides that there has to be an educational or public education to qualify for social welfare. But my question is, who determines whether a particular ad is public education? And has it ever been tested in court? And are there any bright line criteria? Or is it just if Karl Rove checks the box and says this is public education, that that's respected?
Well, the problem is and there are no real bright lines, and there's a lot of lawyers at both the IRS, the IRS has jurisdiction over 501Cs, and the Federal Elections Commission, FEC, has jurisdiction over political committees. And so there are a lot of folks, a lot of lawyers in Washington sort of trying to fight over what counts as public education and what counts as issue advertising. And there are a lot of fuzzy lines, and the folks like Karl Rove and other 501Cs are trying to create a very expansive definition. There are a lot of advocates on the side of campaign finance reform who want a more narrow mm-hmm. definition, and these are battles that are happening. People are arguing over these definitions.
And we've been using Karl Rove groups as an example here, but we should say, for fairness, that labor unions are also very active in this 501c4 game, right?
Well, the labor unions are technically 501c5s, but it's a very similar entity. If they're not forming explicit political action committees, that they don't have to disclose the ads. And you know, also there are some groups on the left, Obama. Or Obama affiliates have formed Priorities USA, which is a 501c4 that's connected with Priorities USA Action, which is a super PAC. So I mean, most of the money has been on the right, but labor unions have done a fair amount. And also the Sierra Club, Planned Parenthood, the teachers' unions have all been involved in this sort of shadowy area of advertising, that in which donations are not disclosed and the expenditures are not disclosed.
Sal, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sal.
Hi. I was wondering if this 501c4 thing, did it come about as a result of Citizens United, or does it predate that Supreme Court decision?
Well, certainly 501c4s have been around for 100 years, and prior to then they ran issue advertisements. The National Rifle Association, the Sierra Club, 501c4 groups that have run issue ads. What happened in Citizens United is that the court said that corporations can get involved directly in spending on elections. And that includes nonprofit corporations, which includes 501c4s. So what they were able to do in political spending expanded. What also seems to have happened is that a bunch of folks in the campaign finance world discovered 501c4s as vehicles to run a lot of political advertisement. Again, some folks and perhaps maybe the folks running these organizations may have initially thought that these would be great money laundering vehicles to anonymize donations to give them to super PACs, but perhaps in the process they discovered, well, we'll just cut out the middleman and we'll just do it ourselves, and that requires even less reporting and less disclosure.
So do you think Citizens United is not having the impact on this election cycle that critics of it feared that it would have, because it's really this pre-existing structure involving the 501c4s and the fact that people in this 501 groups in this 501c category can give anonymously?
Well, that certainly existed in the past, but what Citizens United did is it expanded the ability of corporations, including nonprofit corporations and 501c4s and 5s and 6s are all nonprofit corporations, to spend on independent expenditures and to basically expand the amount, what they could do in the campaign finance world. So it it created the class of super PACs, which has now become eclipsed, and we believe, by the 501Cs. And I think it encouraged a lot of people to rediscover 501Cs uh-huh. as vehicles. But
there are really two issues here, and we're almost out of time. But one is the unlimited spending that can go on, and that's usually what you hear about with respect to Citizens United. But the other really big thing that we've been talking a lot about in this segment is the undisclosed nature. And Eric Schneiderman, the New York State Attorney General, is investigating the 501c sector. There's the Disclose Act, which will create robust reporting requirements for super PACs and corporations and unions and nonprofit organizations, 501cs, that decide to make campaign expenditures at all. But is that something that the Supreme Court also protected in Citizens United? That, you know, this is the purpose of your organization, the Sunlight Foundation, is to increase transparency in government and politics. Did the Supreme Court justices, the five of them, sit there and say, no, you can be as opaque as you want if you use these structures?
Well, the Supreme Court in Citizens United, the logic was that you would have robust reporting and robust disclosure, and that would counter any perceived negative effects of unlimited money. What's happened is that we've seen more secret money in this election than any time since back in Watergate. So what the Supreme Court majority had hoped would happen has not, in fact, happened. And, I mean, if you go back and read the decisions and look at other decisions, the Supreme Court majority is very in favor of disclosure. And what's happening now, and when you talk about the Disclose Act, which will be coming up soon, is that you see Mitch McConnell saying, oh, we need to protect secret donors, which is goes in direct opposition to what even the conservatives on the Supreme Court were saying, that we need robust disclosure. I'll just read you something from Justice Scalia, what he wrote in a case, Doe v. Reed, that was also a 2010 case. So he said that requiring people to stand up in public for their political acts fosters civic courage, without which democracy is doomed. Look, the Declaration of Independence wasn't signed by anonymous. People had the courage of their convictions. And, you know, if we're going to have a robust, vibrant political debate, I think we need to have an environment in which donors of all stripes are willing to stand up and say, this is what I believe in, and I'm willing to stand by it.
So could that wind up back in court, the question of whether disclosure must be required?
It certainly could. Look, there are... folks who James Bopp is a lawyer who's really led this, who basically want to take a very extreme view of unlimited secret money, and they have a lot of lawsuits going, I think there are a lot of folks who might try to challenge it. Right. I think their challenge would be pretty weak, but there are a lot of folks who seem very determined, and it's a bit frightening.
Lee Drutman, Senior Fellow at the Sunlight Foundation, which advocates for more transparent government. Thank you for helping clear our vision on these 501c organizations.
Well, hopefully I added a little bit of clarity. It's a very confusing area, and it certainly helps those who want to spend a lot of secret money to take advantage of the very confusing welter of rules.
Thanks again. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, can we tie the heat this summer and the winterless winter and the numbers of record hot summers over the last 20 years to global warming? We will ask somebody who may actually be able to give us an answer. Stay with us.